feedback. And good evening, one and all. Yes, another week. I don't know. We're halfway through July, I tell you. No, it's not June. I wish for thinking. It's because the schools break up in June in America. Of course, in England, it's the end of July. So that's what's confusing me. But that's my excuse, and I'm sticking to it. So, yes, here we are, mid of June, and it's been really nice weather in Connecticut, where I am, in between thunderstorms and rain. It's like a bit living in Florida, but without humidity, with the storms and the sun and the storms and the sun. Just sit there watching the grass grow, literally. Cut it, and then 2 days later, it's grown again because it's the right weather for it. Not so much some of the veg in the garden. Some are okay. Some it's been too hot for, and they've shot a bit. But never mind. I am here, and so is my guest. Now, one of the things that must be great is to have a hobby and a job and a, you know, write a book that can all sort of pick up stuff you're interested in, just sort of merge a bit in a way. Well, my guest, he has done that. Not once, but twice now, because he's got a second book in this series. And, I better introduce him, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Mark Rosendorf. Hi, Mark. How are you doing?
How are you, Barry? And let me thank you for having me on the show.
My pleasure. I am okay. Okay as much as I can be. Got a bit of trouble with the old, as we say in London, the old Jim and Jack. The back is a bit playing up, and I went to see this wonderful lady physiotherapist yesterday to check it all out and see, you know, what was wrong and where and how, because I've had a couple of surgeries on it in the past, but yeah, just to see what's going on. And of course, I finished an hour of being poked and prodded to see what was working and what wasn't, and got home and could hardly move. Yeah, typical. So, oh yes, you've got another 3 months of this to go through, so yeah. But if it can mean I can put shoes on, then I'll be grateful for it, because right now I can't, you know, slip-ons and that's it. But it's great to have you on the show. Of course, I must add, award-winning, nominated, etc. author. But when did you sort of first get into the writing, before you get into the other stuff? Because, you know, a lot of people, A lot of people sort of say, yeah, well, you know, I was writing little stories as soon as I could hold a crayon. Was that you? Is it writing something you've always sort of had a yearning for?
That's pretty much the case. Growing up, going throughout school, I was always like, I could write an essay, it would get an automatic A, struggle with math, but even if I didn't study for a test, I could put together an amazing essay without one single fact and get an A, because teachers always liked my writing. So I knew that someday I wanted to become a writer.
So you had the mental capacity to sort of draw people in, you know, make up the story sort of thing. It was great, rather than the logical of the maths, which is, it's different sides of the brain, I guess. I mean, me, I, you know, thank goodness for spell check, because I can't spell for anything. But maths and stuff like that, you know, I'm okay with. So I'm the other side of the brain. So one of the things is, you know, I found is that some people, you know, they still got some of that early stuff they did when they were at school lying around. Have you?
Honestly, no. My parents have moved to Florida. We emptied a lot of the house when we left. I've moved place to place within the borough of Queens in New York City. Mm-hmm. So I actually do not have any of my writing from those days. However, a lot of it does stick with me in my mind. And
right.
I can tell you recently I wrote a short story a few years ago that actually came from a dream I had.
Yep.
So sometimes the stuff just stays in my head and I can rewrite it right from the beginning.
And I think that's great if you can do that. I mean, I forgot where I was. I think it was in the car. And suddenly something came on the radio and I was reciting poetry I learned when I was sort of 8 and 9, you know, from school. And it just sticks in there. And as you say, sometimes it's like the characters are there and they want to tell you their story, and it comes in a dream or, you know, your subconscious and stuff like that. It's what we find all the time on this show, that just characters, it's almost like characters are in a parallel universe, and all we are is the conduit that sort of writes their story in this universe, because they lead you. Yeah, there's no two ways of doubting.
It's funny that you say that, actually, Barry. I don't know if you know this. This is actually my second career as a writer. my second time through.
All right.
I had started writing back in 2009, and I was writing adult work.
Yeah.
I wrote a series called The Rasner Effect, which was an adult suspense thriller. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I didn't really, I thought my writing was very good. I didn't really know how to navigate the publishing world as far as marketing and such. So eventually, I wrote 4 books in 3 years, and I found myself getting burnt out. And by the time I really understood what was going on, the books had felt dated.
Right.
Like, for example, the first book talks about the character who's the tech expert is using a BlackBerry.
Right, right.
After a while, at the time, that was a big tech. So eventually, and I quit writing. And to show you how little of an impact I made when I quit, I was the only one that knew I quit. And I figured, you know what? I had published books. I did it. I was ready to just move on. I had my regular job. I'm a high school guidance counselor working with special needs students.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, this idea for The Witches of Vegas hits me 2:00 in the morning. It just pops in my head. It was almost as if, as you said, the characters from another reality started speaking in my head so that I could share it here.
Yeah. Oh, I totally believe it. Totally believe. I mean, I reckon a good 95% of the authors that come on this show will tell you that, no matter how you plot and plan and navigate, etc., the characters come along, lead you somewhere totally different. Minor characters want major, more bigger roles, and some even demand their own follow-up book. And it's like if people say about writer's block, I don't think there's such a thing as writer's block. I think it's you didn't listen to the characters and they don't want to talk to you that day.
Well, my characters led me back into writing.
There you go.
I certainly owe them for that. And it actually, The Witches of Vegas started with an idea, because I used to be a professional magician.
Right, yeah.
And I teach magic to my students. And it was just 2 a.m., I'm not sleeping, and I'm just, I don't know why, and I'm just thinking about, at this point, I no longer actively practice magic, but what I do is I teach it to my students, and they put on shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking how we put so much hard work into the magic, and yet to an audience member, it might as well be witchcraft.
Yeah.
So, wow, what a great idea for witches to hide in plain sight
as
magicians.
Yes.
I started thinking, well, it would be on the Vegas Strip. Well, who are the characters? And it just started hitting me one after the other. It's like, and I'm like, I have a flashlight and a notebook, and I'm writing all the details down, trying very hard not to wake my wife, who's like 3 inches away from me. And the whole story is just coming together.
Right.
It was almost like they were from another reality, were telling me their story.
Exactly.
And I've now written 2 books of their adventures. It's got a lot of positive reviews. It's got a lot of accolades, you mentioned. The third book is actually in production now with the Wild Rose Press, who's the publication.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And it's just been a wild ride. So now, basically, when I look back at my old writing career, now I'm writing a new genre for a new audience, a young adult audience. New style of writing. I mean, fantasy. It's almost like I'm a born again writer.
Right.
I owe it to these characters.
I'm a great fan of the YA genre. I remember when my books came out and it's like, how can I put it? They will tell you if it's no good. They will tell you if it's good, and they will spread the word. I always say. Remember, I went to a book signing place and signed a book, and I was there for sort of like 2-3 hours in a bookstore, and I was there. I might have had 10 people come up to me. Like 3 wanted to know where the bathroom was. Two thought I was a member of working from the shop floor, and could I direct them to such and such. A couple of startled up to get the free bookmarks, and there might be a couple of people who were generally interested in the book and bought the book. Well, I was there for that time. After I'd been there, that was it. I was forgotten. You get on, one of these YA bloggers and stuff like that. Who've got like 600-700 people following them. They write about your book. You might have 200-300 people read it. And then you might have another 10-15 think this is good. I'm going to read this and do a write up on it. And they do it. And then it spreads to another group and another group and another group. And when it's finished, it's there on the internet still. If somebody's trying to looks you up, they'll find these shows. They find this old stuff. And I think that's obviously the way right now.
And I certainly try to do as many as I can. It's hard to also work full time. But I do feel that, and I've seen so far that any teen and even a lot of adults who pick up this book enjoy it, because I've made a lot of characters that I feel that people can relate to.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing. So I remember a blogger got a little bit of hate mail because they were 25 and blogging on about YA. You know, what does that mean? If you're over 30, you can't see a Disney film. You know, it's you're as old as you feel. I had reviews from 8 to 80 on my book. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. It's just a name. It's just where the books go on a shelf, really.
As long as the characters are interesting, it really doesn't matter how old
exactly,
they are.
Exactly, exactly. You know, if people are interested and they turn the page and they sit and read it and they enjoy it, if they enjoy it, that's the main thing to me. I mean, yeah, okay, some people might have some comments, which is great because then you learn as well. But anyway, so you got this idea. Using your magic, obviously, which, as you said, you sort of use to help teach and that, which I think is great, the fact that you're able to use that hobby part of yours to help in your daily work and to help these children as well. I've got two nieces that are special needs teachers, so I do understand a bit about it. Then this sort of story came to you. Was it sort of, like we were saying, I mean, did it just sort of open up in front of you? You know, the idea came and then it just sort of bloomed as you started writing it.
At 2:00 in the morning, I'm taking the notes, and night after night, it just came together. Right. Amazingly so. So to share the story, basically, this is a story about a family of witches and their vampire mentor who are hiding in plain sight as magicians on the Vegas Strip. They have their own show titled The Witches of Vegas. And it's great for them because it gives them a chance to practice their magic openly. It's great for the audience because there's no expensive props and because there's no, amazing, illusions or creating illusions, they can charge cheap prices. Mm. Who is this not great for is the other magician in Vegas.
Right.
Who can't possibly keep up.
Right.
So the story revolves around two main characters. You have Isis Rivera, who is the adopted teen witch, 15-year-old witch, of the Witches of Vegas. Then you also have Zach Galloway, who is he's a teenage magician's assistant to his uncle, the amazing Herb Galloway, who's the last magician left in Vegas after all the rest left for the East Coast so they can't compete with the Witches of Vegas. Now, Isis and Zach, who are the main characters, they should be rivals. But when a real threat from the vampire mentors passed, who has a grudge not only against the witches, but also against all of humanity, shows up in town, it's going to be up to Isis and Zach to bring their families together.
Right. Interesting. I mean, it's looking at things a little, as you say, they should sort of really dislike each other, but it's great the fact that, they've been thrown together.
They need each other to,
exactly.
to
yeah.
beat this threat, if it's not too late. Because the threat that's coming is an immortal witch who's had hundreds of years to plan. Her name is Valeria, and she's had hundreds of years to plan her revenge. So maybe it'd be even too late. But together, they have to try to beat them. Now, that's the premise of the first book. The second book actually takes their world and goes a little further out. When one of the witches gets extremely sick and they're unable to cure it, they look for a fabled village called New Salem, hence the name Journey to New Salem,
right.
which is supposedly a hidden village of witches somewhere in the world.
Ah, right. I mean, when you did the Witches of Vegas, were you expecting it to go into a series, or did it sort of just, did you, as you were writing it, think, hey, I've got a few more things I can go through with this group
of
people?
To be honest, as I started writing it, and I fell in love with the characters, particularly Isis, back in the relationship, and the family. And I just saw it as something that I felt, if I love them so much, I know others will too, because I'm putting my passion into them. And I could see future stories. And before, I think when I was about halfway through, and again at 2:00 a.m, ideas hit me for the second book and then the third. And so, of course, I'm scribbling those up. And my ideas, I can tell you, they hit me in the shower. They hit me when I'm in the car.
Yeah.
They hit me at 2 o'clock at night. And my ideas are like lightning. One great flash, and then they're gone.
Right.
So I have to quickly write them down. I have notepads all over the house because of that.
Right. Yeah, I remember I used to write my short stories while I was doing training runs. So I had to sort of try and have a pencil and paper with me, and then I had to either try and stop me in the middle of the run to, you know, your story comes and you don't want to lose it. But if I stop, I got to run. So you could try to run slow and write a piece of paper in your hand. Didn't quite work. You know, you get home and heck does that say?
Let me just say this, Barry, that recently I got the newest Apple Watch.
Right.
And with all the great features, my favorite one is the tape recorder on there.
There you go.
On the front page, I just hit it and recite a couple lines before I forget them.
That's great. That's a great idea. Terrific, really is. So, as you said, the first one, The Witches of Vegas, etc. The second one, did you get people as the first one was out and people reading it say, hey, when's the next one coming out?
I got a lot of that, and a lot of people saying, well, we want to see more of the world of witches. Hmm. We know these aren't the only witches. And it was funny because as they're saying this, by the time the first book came out, I was about 3/4 done with the second book, and that's exactly where I was, finding out what some freaking world looks like. And let me also say, my book stands out different. The Witches of Vegas, the premise of the witches is very different than anywhere else. First of all, the family is female and male. I know witches are usually female here, both. It's also something it's not something they learn or through practice. Well, they have to practice, but it's something that they could be born with.
Right.
It has to manifest. And it's basically, it's shaping reality. It's using the old theories. I don't know if you ever heard of the psychiatrist Carl Jung had a belief that we can control the reality around us simply by focusing on it by creating our own reality. This kind of took that idea to another level.
Right. Interesting.
In fact, it's even pointed out that in the vampire Luther, who's 500 years old, there were a lot more witches in his day than now. And his belief is because today, you know, people have television, they have their phones, and they're so focused on things and not focused on themselves, and therefore they could have the power, live, die, and never even realize it. The power never manifests.
See, after The Witches of Vegas, you went into, as you said, Journey to New Salem.
Salem is correct.
Yeah, and they, obviously trying to find this mythical Shangri-La sort of place for witches. Now, what's happened with the third one, if you can, without giving it away too much, obviously?
The third book, you'll be the first to publicly hear the title. It's going to be called Witch's Gamble.
Okay. Nice.
And it follows after everything that happens into Journey to Salem. This book is actually going to deal with time travel and alternate realities.
Oh.
I always made a promise, if I could come up with an original concept in time travel that's never been done before, which is nearly impossible because it's been done, there's so many stories. But I thought I really found it. I actually think I really found it, and that's going to be the premise of the third book.
Okay, cool. So you're actually sort of, when you think about it, you're actually sort of crossing several sort of boundaries with your characters within the sort of fantasy world, from time travel to, mythical locations, to living in within plain sight, but sort of that sort of thing. So you're actually managing to cover quite a large range of this sort of thing, which is great.
Or we can say they're doing it.
Oh, they're doing it. Sorry, yeah. So you're sharing their stories, shall I say?
I'm sharing their stories and they're crossing. And it just seems that once I came with the idea that the witches can actually the more they learn to control their power, the better they can manipulate the reality around them, it kind of left the door open to a lot of different types of adventures.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of Isis Rivera, her biggest issue, she's the 15-year-old from the book, and she's someone who suffered a rough life up until the age of 9, where her powers first started showing, and the foster family and neighbors that she's with immediately think she's the devil and try to set her on fire, and that's when the Witches of Vegas rescue her.
Wow.
And adopt her and give her the life that she has. Now, she actually has the ability to be the most powerful witch of all time, because usually the witches manifest their power in their teen years, and she's the first to manifest at 9 years old. Mm. The problem is, and there always has to be something they have to overcome, is that the witch's power becomes very uncontrollable depending on, it's connected to her emotions. So their emotions have to be steady to keep under control. But this is a 15-year-old teenage girl. So emotions are very strong. She's an emotional girl as well.
Yeah.
So she's dealing with her emotions, and then through her emotions have to be able to keep the power under control, because it becomes dangerous if she can't.
Right. I get a lot of people who sort of try different genres until they find their the place that they should be, you know, the place that is for them. I mean, you do get other, some people who sort of write three or four different genres at the same time, and I could never do that. You know, who am I today? What am I meant to be writing? You know, is it a Western or is it a thriller? But do you find now you've got into the sort of YA and the fantasy stuff, do you think this is the genre you were meant to write?
Absolutely. And if you can find any of my old books anywhere in the reviews, most of the reviews say, you know what? He's writing adult work, but his writing comes off like young adult, which makes sense, because I've been a guidance counselor for young adults for the last 20 years. It makes sense that my writing would go that way. And my last book I wrote was a science fiction book, which is called Status Quo, which is completely out of circulation now. And it was told by, and basically this would have made a great young adult book, except it was told by the adult's perspective.
Right.
You know, the adult was telling it from his perspective. So I call that a learning experience. So I decided once I came up with this concept, The Witches of Vegas, it was going to come from the two teenage, you know, point of view.
Yeah, go ahead.
I will say there's a couple of chapters in there that comes from the 500-year-old vampire's point of view,
right,
but the
yes.
majority of the book comes either from Isis or Zach.
Yes, that's good. The fact you have got that. I know I used to write short romance stories. I've got a book of them out called The Bathroom Book of Romance. They're only like 5-10 minute reads, and that's the place you can get 5-10 minutes peace and quiet to read. But when I came to do my YA stuff, all of a sudden the romance hat kicked in halfway through, you know, and there was sort of a first love sort of thing came in. And I thought, well, yeah, that's what I write. I've been writing. Yeah, why not? You've got a bit of everything in there. So just shuffled it in amongst the rest of the stuff. But as you say, it was a very, very interesting to sort of try and write, but from a different age point of view. There was an example of an email that my hero received from his parents, and they're from England, so I wrote it in English, as in, you know, with the spelling and stuff like that, because that's how it is. And I got people saying, you spelt the words wrong. No, I haven't. I spelt it as they are spelt in England, in English, not American. and you know, because it was meant to be a straight copy of the email sort of thing. Oh, but hey, that's the way it goes.
They need the American to England translation dictionary, right?
Exactly. Well, that's one of the themes that went all the way through it, actually, across the pond, was that he'd been given a project by his teacher while he was in America, your Fred had, about the differences and the word differences and that. So all the way through, he was making notes, cyborg and pavement and, you know, and hood and bonnet and all this sort of stuff, you know, going through. I even managed to get in. I'll never forget the first time I came to America and sort of drove and got to a traffic light and, people were turning right on red. I nearly had a heart attack. These people are going through the red light, you know. And I managed to sort of squeeze that in as well. But it's great when you can bring that. And it's like with you, with your magic, not only with the school stuff, but able to bring it into the book.
Well, in fact, let me just say that some of the secrets of magic are in the book, because you get to kind of see behind stage of the magicians.
Right.
And let me also just say, from your reference to the red light, that was also weird for me as well, because I was born and raised in New York City, where you can't turn right on a red light.
Ah, right. Oh, that's even more complicated. So you've got a third one on its way. You got some ideas for some more after that? Have they given you some ideas?
I'm writing book four as we speak. I'm doing the rough draft. Yeah.
There you go. Great. That's great stuff. It's great that the characters are still with you and you're managing to sort of spread them and bring in different types of adventure all the way through. I think that's really good. Keeps
and,
it fresh.
You know, And you were talking about this, all the different genres coming together.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny because the Wild Rose Press, while has all different genres,
yeah.
one of its primary genres is the romance.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, I know quite a few romance authors from there, yeah.
A lot of the romance authors I've come to know have read The Witches of Vegas, and they're actually arguing this should be in the romance genre because the romance between Isis and Zach was gripping. In fact, it's so gripping that people don't even seem to realize there's, this for both of them, it's a first date. Outside of a little kissing, there's not a lot of romance going on in the book.
Exactly. Exactly the same as Brit and Fred in mind. Exactly the same. Yeah. It's.
When I wrote these characters also, the thing that always bothered me about a lot of the young adult writing is that if you were to take a typical high school, the characters in this book are probably the coolest kids in the whole high school.
Right, right.
And that's not normal. You know, there's some popular, but the majority are shy, awkward.
Yeah.
And that's how I wrote both Isis and Zach.
Good.
Because, yes, at night, their magicians are on stage, but then during the day, they're the shy and awkward ones.
Exactly. Just another, people in the back of the class or wherever. Yeah, indeed. And, of course, obviously, with your teaching experience and, sort of thing, you know about this. Time's whizzed past us. I couldn't believe it. I just checked Mark to look at it. Well, where's the time going? What I'm going to do anyway is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where people can find more about you and, of course, find your books.
Okay, well, The Witches of Vegas are available in print, ebook, and in audio, basically wherever books are online are sold. You can get them at Amazon. You can get them at Barnes & Noble. The audio is available on audible.com. You can get them basically wherever you like to get your books. You can get the print book and the ebook. You can also, you can come to my website, which is www.markrosendorf.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Rosendorf, R-O-S-E-N, D-O-R-F, one word, .com. On there, not only will you find links to the book, you'll find my video trailers to the first two books. You'll find interviews with me, interviews with some of my characters.
Right.
As well as many different reviews. I'm also proud to say, as you mentioned, award-winning, The Witches of Vegas is a Rhone Award finalist. The big ceremony takes place in October. It's one of three books to have made the finals in the young adults.
That's great.
So everybody, please keep your fingers crossed.
Right.
Yeah, we do. Journey to New Salem has already for next year.
Okay.
And as I said, I think anybody of any age would enjoy the series. Check it out again on my website, markrosendorf.com.
Okay. Well, Mark, thank you so much for being a guest. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. And good luck with the books and good luck with the new one when it comes out.
Thank you, Barry. And I really, let me say thank you for having me on the show. I do appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Mark Rosendorf. Terrific. These books really remind me of, some of the other ones, the really good ones that you read. You just want to read it and read the next one and get into the characters and the adventures and different sort of adventures as well, as we were saying. But yes, we've got The Witches of Vegas and Journey to New Salem, both out now. A new one coming out, as Mark told us, sort of later on this year. And that's Mark Rosendorf, MarkRosendorf. And put those together with a .com at the end, and that's his site. In fact, I was looking at it just now with all the different bits and pieces and some videos and some great stuff. Well, I think that's great, and let's keep the fingers crossed here. Could be not just a finalist, could be the winner, one of the winners, but great stuff. Anyway, that's it. I'll be back tomorrow. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...